Everyone say, Holy Spirit. Thou art welcomed in this place, in my life, in my house, in myself. All right, there we go. I don't know if you realize what you just did. I don't know if you realize what you just did. We're going to stay here for a long time. I had a prophetic word the Lord spoke to me. Can't share it right now. At the right time, I'll release it this morning. If you saw me on my phone, I wasn't texting. I was writing what God was speaking as quick as possible. See, to be a Spirit-filled church, to be a Spirit-filled people, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We could talk about being filled. We can say we're Spirit-filled. But unless there's an actual tangible evidence of the release of the Spirit, the question is, are we really filled? Not questioning that, but hear me on that. If I say I'm a professional football player, soccer, because that's professional football, you would be able to at one time turn the TV on and see me playing, or you'd be able to watch a tape. And so I believe that today the church, and God's calling this church, I don't know about what other churches are doing, and to be honest with you, it's nice what they're doing, but my concern is what we're doing. And so I believe God's calling us. We've been saying we're Spirit-filled. We've been saying that we believe in the fullness of the Spirit. We believe with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in the evidence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That we get to where we need to get, that we, every time we gather, whether here or in our homes, as small groups, or in the Sunday school department with our children, or even alone with your wife or your husband or your friends, that there's an outpouring and move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so I want to kind of give us a basic intro where we're going and kind of what's happening regarding the Holy Spirit. We need Him. Without Him, we won't survive. We'll be eaten up by the thing called the world. We need the presence of God in our lives every day. We need to then not only receive Him, but we need to release Him in all that we do. And so if you have your Bibles, real quick, turn with me to the book of John. I'm going to read to you just a couple of verses here. Prior to the 16th chapter, Jesus is teaching, and he's talking about you know, how he's the vine and the Father is the gardener, that we need to be attached to the vine. And he gives this beautiful illustration, this beautiful symbolic teaching about the importance of life is sustained by being connected to the vine. But then he talks about being hated, and he talks about persecution coming, and he talks about, as believers, as Spirit-filled believers, we're going to face that. It was actually part of one of our messages about being a radical, that our faith will be tested, we will be put to the fire, we will be ridiculed, we'll be made fun of when we're walking and doing that. But Jesus even deals with it here. And then he gets to the 16th chapter, even in the 15th chapter, he talks about how he's going to send the advocate. But 16th chapter, verse 5, it says this: "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you." And he says, "But in fact, it's best for you." Say, "Best for me." "That I go away." Why is it best for them and best for us that he goes away? Because the next sentence says this: "Because if I don't, the advocate won't come." The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Energizer, our strength, the one who deposits wisdom as we're studying and reading, revelation, knowledge, birth, it won't come. But he goes on and says, "If I go away, then I'll send him to you." And how many of us know that what he's saying to them there is still true for us today? That we need the Advocate, and he will send him to us. When we're willing to receive him, when we're willing to call him into our lives, when we're willing to open ourselves up. It goes on, he says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin." See, I read that to myself. He says, "And when he comes into my life, he's going to show me what's right and wrong. He's going to tell me what I need to change and what I need to fix. But he's also going to celebrate the victories and the right things that I'm doing as well. And of God's righteousness and of God's judgment." Verse 12. "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth," the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, "he will guide you into all truth, and he will, and in all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard. And what he's heard, he will tell you, and it's not only about today, but it's also about the future. And what he's heard is coming from the Father. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And that belongs to the Father is mine. The Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have put into motion this weekend here. Come and do all that you have planned. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, it's vital for the Spirit-filled church to actually be Spirit-filled, not just in title. And when we look at the Holy Spirit, I think it's something that we need to just kind of review real quick, the importance of the vitalness of how the Spirit was a consistent theme in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit. It's a consistent thing. As a parent, now some of you who don't have kids, won't understand this, or maybe you will because you have a parent that's like myself. As a parent, when you have kids, when you tell your child something over and over and over and over, what are you trying to convey? It's that it's important, right? That there's a reason why I keep telling you to do this or not to do this. Or if you do this, this will be the response to that. See, throughout the New Testament, there's a consistent talk of the Spirit, a consistent talk of the move of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, the move of the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so if it's talked about that much, it's important for us to understand the importance of it for our lives. And so let me just read a couple quick verses to you before we jump into the meat of this message that John talked about, John the Baptist, that Jesus talked about, and that even Peter talked about. See, John declared this when you read in the New Testament. He says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, in Matthew 3:11, he says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and they turn to God. And I love how he says this. He says, but there's someone coming that I'm not even worthy enough to be a servant, let alone carry his sandals. And he says, and he's going to baptize you. Remember the word baptize. We're going to talk about that. Today's about baptism. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So John's prepping people. John's foretelling of what's going to happen. Getting you set. Or getting them set for this amazing move. Jesus himself, he says this. Now Jesus dies, and he goes to the grave, and he is resurrected from the grave, and he hasn't gone and ascended to heaven yet, but he's with his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And he was eating with them, and he said this to them. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift. Until he sends the gift that he what? Had promised. See, and then it says, as I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I grew up with parents that love to bless, and if you've been around them long enough, I'm sure they blessed you in some way, shape, or form. And so, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, if my dad said, or my mom said, and it was always, I wanted my mom to say it because my mom is above and beyond. You know, you wait here, son. You and Tracy wait right here because I have something special for you. I have this amazing gift for you. I could tell you this. If I needed to, I'd camp out in the tent for months. Two reasons. When my parents said something, I knew it would come to pass. And two, when they said they had a gift for me, I knew the gift was going to be awesome. It was going to be amazing. And here, Jesus is telling the disciples, the Father has a gift for you. A gift that is going to change your life completely, going to impact you in ways you will never understand. All you need to do is wait right here, and when it comes, receive it. Receive it. Take it. I don't know many people who get a gift and are like, no, Phil, brother, I know you wanted to give me that gift, but, you know, I really don't want it. You go ahead and you keep the gift. I don't know anyone who does that. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you after service. Because sometimes by trying to do that, you're robbing the person that's trying to bless you with a blessing. You're taking their blessing. Receive the gift. And you know what? Then you bless someone else. So he's saying, listen, wait, because and God's promises always come to pass. God's promises, they come to pass. And so he tells him that. And then we see the great outpouring in Acts chapter 2. Those who listened and hungered for the Spirit were touched in a dynamic way. And then real quick, Peter. Peter is in chapter 10 is preaching, and in Acts chapter 10, 33 through 48, he's preaching, and the Gentiles are being converted and they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 11, Peter begins to talk and tell the leaders about what's going on. And it's important because Peter is acknowledging what is taking place at that particular time with this group of people is so important, because what they were experiencing by being filled with the Holy Spirit was what he experienced on the day of Pentecost. He said that. He goes, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as it fell on us at the beginning. And I declare today, just as in the upper room, the way the Spirit fell on the disciples, and the Spirit fell on those who, after the upper room took place, will fall on us today. Can you believe me for that? Well, some of you are going to get filled. Some of you, you're not sure yet. And if you could say, well, Pastor, I'm already filled. Great. Then we're going to ask God to pour more on you and dip you again and give you the ability to release it. And see, a new day is dawn, I believe, you know, in the church in Acts chapter 2. And I believe that a new day can dawn in the church here at Southtowns. I told you, I have friends who are pastors, and I you know, I pray for them. I hope things are going well. But my concern is right here. What is God doing here? How is God touching you? How is God healing you? How is God restoring you? How is God pouring out in you? And so today we start the series because we want more. Who wants more? Want more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit. And so before I jump into this and go further, I got to talk about the word baptize. Baptize. I did a little, got a little crazy, did a little studying, got a little into the word, and I always, you know, hear your pastor say it. I want to give you an understanding of the word as we examine the word, because the word baptized, now I'm going to get real churchy, in the Greek, okay, I just got real churchy there, in the Greek meaning is the word baptizo, okay? Baptized in the Greek is the word baptizo, or baptizo is how they pronounced it, because I couldn't figure it out, so I had to listen to it a couple times on my commentary thing. And this voice, real deep, booming, baptizo, comes out. And all right, I got that. And it's really a verb, but it's a longer form of the word of bapto, which means to dip. It means to dip, okay? So baptized, baptizo, turns into bapto, which means to dip. Now, we need to understand this, because in that context, many times, it was used frequently in the context of dyeing clothes. See, they would weave clothes together. You know, they would do what they had to do to make clothing and garments and all that stuff. But the problem is, when they would take what was necessary to do all this, there was different shades and different hues of colors from the different materials that were put together. So you would hold it up. And when I was reading this and studying this, I pictured a tie-dye shirt. You know what a tie-dye's got? Different colors and stuff. So they would look at this, and they would say, okay, we need to fix this because it's not in uniform. It's not aligning to the way it was created to be, more or less, or designed to be. So it says that they would dip the clothing into a bucket of dye. They would pull the clothing out, and they would look at it and examine it. Now, the dye would begin to change everything into what? Into a uniform likeness of what? The dye. Do you see where I'm going with this? Now, I don't know about you, but prior to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I looked nothing like Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form. I don't mean in the physical. I mean in how I talked, on how I acted, on how I made decisions. There was no representation, no mirror image of him in any way, shape, or form until bapto took place. Right, brother? I was dipped in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And see, so it causes this uniformity, this density, the shade to resemblance the dye. And that's the same thing when it comes to Jesus. See, when we look at the intense understanding of the word bapto, it puts a major emphasis on the word immersion. It also talks about a drowning or defining of a drowning man. In other words, someone who has lost his life because they were totally immersed into that. Doesn't the Bible say that we should pick up our cross and what? And die to self. Come on. Do you see where I'm going with this? See, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we understand what the word baptized means. It means that we're going to die to self, and we're going to be immersed and submerged and saturated in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that Jesus talked about, that says, I'm leaving, and he's coming. So if I don't go, he doesn't come, and it's not going to be as good as you think it is. So let me go, and the Father will fulfill his promise and send him to us. And when you receive him in his fullness, your life will not be the same. So you need to be dipped. You need to be immersed. You need to be held under. You need to be saturated in the Holy Spirit. See, that's what I'm talking about today. That's what I'm talking about. And so what's amazing is it even notes to a sunken ship, which I said about being submerged and saturated. And so when we look at this meaning and this understanding, it does relate to us. Are we as believers immersed in his presence? Are we saturated and dripping with the Holy Spirit? See, let me ask you this question. Paul asked this question. I'm just ripping it off from Paul. I think if Paul said it, I think I can say it too, right? So Paul is doing his thing. He's journeying from city to city. He's preaching, he's teaching, and people are getting saved and healed, and God's moving. And he comes to the upper coast, and he came to Ephesus, and he finds a certain group of individuals, disciples, and he said this unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul was one bold dude, wasn't he? He walked into the place. Hey, you received the Holy Ghost since you received? And they're like, Holy Ghost? Here's what they said. We have not such heard as whether there was any Holy Ghost. See, hearing is a part of, is an important part of believing as well. Because when we hear it, we become responsible. When we look, you know what I mean? Pastor Dave, our worship pastor, we see all the time to our teenagers in our youth group. We tell them something like, oh, by the way, now you know what the word says, you're responsible. Love you, bro. We're responsible. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit, so therefore, we now have an understanding that it is promised to us and for us. And they didn't hear about it. And he says, well, what were you baptized into? He's like, unto John's baptism, water baptism. For the repentance of sin, for the forgiveness, for the repentance and turning from sin and the washing clean of the forgiveness of God into our lives. And it says that Paul then, he says, he lays his hands on them and all of a sudden, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. My question to you is the same question Paul asked. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit? Now don't freak out. Don't get all nervous yet. We're going to pray for that today. We had some people filled this morning with the Holy Spirit. That was awesome. God's a faithful God. So God wants a closer connection with you and myself individually and as a church. And so before we get to the praying part, let me just share a few things that I believe are important for us to know when it comes to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The first thing that we must understand is that I can't baptize myself in the Holy Spirit. You can't baptize yourself in the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, what? What do you mean? See, because I can't grab a hold of him and jam him in me. Find him and grab him in me. But what are you talking about, Pastor? See, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I need the Lord Jesus. I need him. See, Jesus is the subject. We're the object, and the Holy Spirit is the instrument. See, it's heaven opened up that day in the upper room. And the Spirit descended from where? From God. Paul prayed for those individuals. Paul didn't himself fill them with the Holy Spirit. Who filled them with the Holy Spirit? God the Father. So we must understand that being filled with the Holy Spirit comes from above. It comes from God the Father. And it's a promise for you. It's a gift to you. He's our advocate. He's our comforter. He's our strength. He's can give you every name. But it comes from him. And we need to understand that. So don't search and seek man for the Spirit of God. Seek God Almighty for the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to understand that. And so, like that garment, he will immerse us. He will saturate us. He will fill us. He will submerge us and consume us with the move and the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand that I don't do it on my own. It's heaven being rolled back. That's what we need. And that one song, it says, Spirit break out, heaven touch the earth. We need heaven and earth to collide. We need the portholes of heaven to be rolled back. And all that God has for us to be poured out upon us this day. We can't do that on our own. I'll understand this, that to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a total saturation. Like that garment of many materials, we must be totally saturated in his presence, in his outpouring. To be saturated means that we are filled to a degree that we can no longer absorb at that point. We no longer can receive anything more into us. We're full to the fullest extent possible. You ever pump gas and you want to squeeze a little bit more out of it? And you always want to squeeze a little bit more out when you're dressed really nice? Right? You know where I'm going with this, right? And you think you... It's only 8 more cents. 8 pennies. What's the big deal? The problem is your tank is full to the extent that it cannot receive any more. And so you squeeze that handle one more time, and sure enough, whew, comes out. And it's like slow motion. You can see the drops like in the movies. And you're watching it, and you go, not on my pants. And so you pull them back, and then all over your shoes. And then you get in your car, and you're, whoever you're with is like, what smells? And you're like, well, what do you think smells? I'm dripping in gasoline. Because I tried to, so when I say saturated, when I say full to the extent, that's what I'm talking about, that we're so full of the Holy Spirit. From every fiber of our being, it's consumed by him. We need to understand that it comes from him. It's not me. It comes from him. But I need to be totally submerged in him. I need to be totally saturated in his presence. And so, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens one time. But what I love about God is then he continues to give us more when we continue to release more. He continues to pour out on us more. He continues to fill us more. He continues to fall upon us more. How many of us wash your own car? How many of you wash your own car? You don't go to a car wash or anything. They wash your own car, right? You know, you use a sponge maybe, or you go in when, like me, I try to sneak in when my wife's not around. I look for the nicest hand towel that we don't use, but it's still good enough to use to wash the car, and you sneak it out. Baby, it must have been the kids. They brought it out. I don't know what happened here. And what you do is you take the hand towel that says TS on it because they were monogrammed, and you got this bucket of water and soap, and you dip it in, right? And when you dip it in, you pull out. It's been submerged, right? It's been immersed. It's been sunk in the bucket of soap and water. So when you pull it out, what does it look like? It looks like the soap and water, doesn't it? So what happens, though, is you begin to wash your car, and in the process of washing your car, a lot of the water comes out. A lot of the soap comes out, right? So what do? You re-dip it. You re-dip it. See, that's what God does with us. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're baptized. We're functioning under the unction of the Spirit of God, and we're giving out. We're sharing. We're living our Christianity loud and in front of people, and we're doing all that is necessary. But what happens is we continue to give out, just like that bucket of water, that sponge, something needs to come back in. So God, what does he do? He refills us. He pours more back into us. He covers us even deeper and surrounds us. And so, you know, we need to be continually saturated in the presence. Because if not, when we're not saturated, we try to go further, sometimes that's when we get tired. When we're not functioning under the Spirit of God, trying to do the work of the kingdom, it's not going to work. And so it's not me filling myself, it's God filling me. It's me realizing the importance of saturation, but it's also me realizing this, that I need the Holy Spirit in everyday life, in every area of my life. That's the bottom line. Man, he is really our navigator. He's our navigator. Now, if you have a flip phone, you won't understand what I'm going to say. But try to keep up. I have these conversations with my dad. He got this flip phone. I'm like, hey, it's on that one app. And I'm like, I got you. There's no apps on your phone, Dad. How many of you have, like, Google Maps? Or you have MapQuest, right? Now, you have that for a reason. You have that to help navigate you from wherever you're going, from point A to point B, right? Now, I took my Siri and all those voices, and I did it as a joke for my neighbor and for my wife, and I changed them all to that, like, British lady. Hello, Tommy. I'm like, oh, hi, Siri, how are you? I'm just doing fine. What can I do for you today? Well, I need directions from, you know, my house to Mighty Taco, you know, or whatever. And it begins to tell you, Tommy, in a quarter mile, please turn right. And so you follow directions, right? Because it takes you from where you go, where you want to, from where you're at to where you need to go or where you want to go, right? So it walks you step by step through the process. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm smarter than MapQuest. I think I'm smarter than Google Maps. And so I get this broad idea, this amazing thing just comes to me like, whoa, I don't need to follow, I know where I'm at. How many times have you ever gone off of that and you're like, where am I? You're like sitting somewhere, and then your amazing, forgiving wife looks at you and says, should have kept following MapQuest. Right? You ever been there before, right? Right? And so that I use that example because it's the same with the Holy Spirit. He's the same as that GPS system that we follow. And we put all our trust in that thing, don't we? We put all our faith in that machine that's going to get me from point A to point B. And someone could tell you that that's not the right way. We're like, nope. My GPS says it is. We're so hooked in saying that this is the way it is and this is truth, we're willing to do anything to use it. That happened to me on vacation. I told you a story. I ended up at a telephone pole in the middle of Virginia. My kids were like, we're here. We're like, yeah, I think so. No hotel, just a telephone pole. You're at your destination. No, I'm not. Why? Because I put my whole trust in that thing. But unlike the GPS, unlike Google Maps, unlike MapQuest, unlike any other app that's on your phone or anything other than what the voice of God is saying, there could be error. There could be the ability to get us off track. That's why it's important for us to have the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit for our everyday life. Because it's not your GPS. Here's what he does. As our GPS, he's going to refresh us daily with hope and love. Come on, somebody, shout amen. I don't know about you, but some days I just need to know that, you know what? Son, I love you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Son, you have hope. Let me show you some things that I'm about to do. Oh, thank you, God, for continuing to revive and show me that. He deposits that love and hope into us. He also comforts us at times of affliction and hardship. You ever been there before? Man, you are in the midst of the middle of a storm. And you just seem like you can't make it through another day, you can't make it through another minute, another second, and yet all of a sudden, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God's consuming you and your household, all of a sudden a peace comes. A joy comes. Come on now. Why? Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We've been dipped. We've been submerged. We've been immersed. See, these are all benefits that happen, and it's needed for everyday life. He guides us in truth. How many of us know we need to decipher what's truth and what's not truth in the world, right? And if you have kids, Oh, we definitely need to decipher what's true and not true and what's being said and not being said. He also is the Holy Spirit, is our guide. He's going to remind us of all the important things that we forget. Whether it's regarding God, whether it's regarding our call, whether it's regarding whatever he needs us to do, say, I don't know about you, but I could be forgetful. You ever been there before? If you don't believe me, can I be forgetful? Look at her. She doesn't want to say it. She doesn't want to expose it. But, oh, yeah, I can be forgetful. I can be totally forgetful. And yet, because of the Holy Spirit, it says that he will remind me of the important truths that I may forget. Like what truths? That Jesus died for me? That because of him as my Lord and Savior, I have eternity? Because of Jesus in my life and the Holy Spirit moving, I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me? Because of Jesus and God in my life, that he has and I have a purpose for life, and that purpose will make a difference. And in some people's natural eyes, it may look small, but in God's eyes, it might be huge. That he loves me no matter what. That when I mess up, he'll pick me up and he'll forgive me. So I can go on and on and on. See, that's the stuff that it reminds me of, those so important things. Is it really important that I forgot the oranges at the supermarket? In the scheme of life, no. Not really. Do I want to forget them? No. Because I want to make my wife as happy as possible. But God reminds us of the important things. That I was bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus. And that he reminds me that in the blood of Jesus, there's healing and restoration and renewal and revival. And nothing can cross the bloodline, right? Y'all know that? See, those are important things that we need to know. That praise, like we talked about, is a weapon of our warfare. Sometimes you've got to praise when you're in the midst of a battle because it's a weapon we use. That God says, he reminds me that if I would humble myself and if I would pray and seek his face, that he would actually hear me. And then when he hears me, that he'll move and he'll restore that which is broken. See, those are the things he reminds me of. That whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, the whosoever. So I'm a whosoever, so I'm not going to perish when this earthly vessel. See, these are the things he reminds me of. Why? Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. He's my guide. He's my GPS. And it goes on and it talks about how, you know, he not only does that, but he also convicts the world of guilt. In other words, he also tells me if I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. He convicts me of it. And don't be upset about being convicted about sin. Thank God that he's showing and revealing to us that that's not part of what he wants us to do or be. And he's saying, hey, Tommy, this is how he speaks to me. What are you thinking, man? What are you thinking? That is not what you should be doing or what you should be saying or how you should be acting. He convicts me. He shows me that. I don't get upset by it. I embrace it. I'm like, thanks, God, for showing me. I don't want to live out of your will. I don't want to live out of your umbrella. I want to be under that. I want to be going where you want me to go. See, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us on a daily basis. He cleanses and he sanctifies. He seeks to bring greater glory to the Lord through me. That's what he does. And so not only do I understand that I can't receive it, I can't force myself. The baptism comes from heaven as the windows are rolled back, but I stand there open, willing to receive, saying, fill me, consume me. I also realize that it's a matter of being saturated. Did you ever see someone on a hot day go up to a pool and go, oh, so refreshing, and then walk away? Right? I don't get that. I don't get that. Yeah, it's 110 degrees here in Lakeview. Praise God. I'd be saying praise God. I really would be. And I walk out to the pool. I'm like, whew, that was a good swim. I wouldn't, would I? No. I'd be shirtless. Hooked up in the Speedo with my flip-flops on, running from my back deck, cannonball, right to the middle of the pool. Why? Because I want to be submerged. I want to be saturated in that water. And that's the same thing that how we have to look at the Spirit. We don't want to just go up to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, whoo, thank you. Whoo, thank you for the dip. Thank you for the toe dip in the Spirit. Oh, I feel it. Oh, Holy Ghost is coming. Oh, I had enough. Walk away. No, I want to be consumed. I want to be filled. I want to be dripping of the Holy Spirit. That my unsaved friends and my saved friends and my unsaved family and my saved family, they look and say, what is with you? What's up? What's it all about you? I'd be like, oh, that's just the Spirit of God dripping off me. Have some. That's where we got to get. So I need to be saturated, and then I need to realize that I need it for life. I need it for fullness of life. I need it for everything that I have, everything where God wants me to go, everything that God wants me to be and who He wants me to be. And then understand this, and we're going to close. Worship team, you can come up. We're going to close. So that's for everybody. That's what I love about God. God's like, He's not like this. He doesn't show partiality. He doesn't say, you can't have the Holy Spirit. You live in Lakeview. It's only set for those who live in Derby. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know what? Oh, your kids go to that school. I'm going to give you a quarter of it because that school is much better. So they're going to get 3/4 of the Holy Spirit, those students. He doesn't do that. He looks at you and I and all our differences and all our and everything that we are and says, my children, I love every one of them. I love them all the same. I love every one of them completely and fully with my unchanging, unconditional love. I love you, children. It doesn't matter. Man, it doesn't matter if you have new clothes or old clothes. It doesn't matter if you wear Nikes over Adidas or you wear Kenneth Cole over Payla. It doesn't matter. We put it so that stuff matters, and we shouldn't. It doesn't matter if you go to private school or public school. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you live, what neighbor. It just doesn't matter. But we get so tied up in what we think matters, and God's like, I'm looking at the heart. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care if you dye your hair. I don't care. I don't care. I what's going on in the heart? What's going on the inside? That's what I'm looking at. It's for everybody. This baptism of the Holy Spirit's for everybody. And the everybody is whosoever would believe and who would ever cry out and wait and for the promise and say, God, you, this is what you said. I'm here. Give me all that you got. See, this is the beginning of a new day here. It's the beginning of a new day. If we say we're Spirit-filled, we will act Spirit-filled. We will release the Spirit in all that we are. But understand this. When the Spirit of God comes in a few moments, in a greater dimension, with a tangible evidence of an outpouring, some things may be different. So people may begin to cry uncontrollably. It's okay. Some people may begin to laugh. Some people may fall down. Some people may just stand there. When God moves on somebody, He moves the way that He wants to move. And just because you're not experiencing what somebody else is experiencing doesn't mean that God's not moving in your life or on you or filling you. Everybody has a different response when God shows up. So don't freak out if like something happens and something doesn't happen. Something crazy happens, something not crazy happens. See, when God shows up, do you realize that when the creator of the universe shows up to a place, that's going to get a little different quick. All right? It's no longer status quo. Right? Think about that. The God who created the universe, through speaking it into existence, He shows up. It's not going to be the same, people. Now, we can try to control it, and the minute you try to control it, you're going to quench what He wants to do. So if you're right now, your stomach's turning and you want to throw up, yeah, that's God stirring something within you. Don't run from it. Embrace it. We'll walk together side by side and walk this thing out. We'll walk it out together, man. We're family. In all our dysfunction, we're family. We're the family of God. And Jesus loves you. So here, He ain't even waiting. He's like, I am done. I need saturation. I need filling. I need pouring out. I need re-dipping and dipping and because in you, God, everything you have I need, and you're going to give it to me today. So let me pray for you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to pray for that. If you need a refilling, I'm going to pray for that. Wherever you may be, I'm going to pray for that. So if that's you, run down here. I'm going to come down. I'm going to lay my hands on you. I'm going to pray. Ushers, get ready. Ushers, you need to get ready. Ushers, come down here. Ushers, get ready. I'm going to pray for you. We can begin to worship. Thank you, Jesus.
There's nothing but that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. Our living host.
Just close your eyes and just begin to worship for a minute.
Your presence,
just begin to worship for a second. Worship, worship, worship. Honor Him, love Him, adore Him. If you're sitting in your pews, I ask that you agree in prayer today that your family members, your friends at the altar would be blessed in such a way, they'd be touched in such a way, life would not be the same.